A couple of years ago, I had gotten back from like a bunch of travel in the summertime, and it was just I was kind of I have to make an excuse because I watched two movies in one day, and so this is the I was really tired. There was nobody around here, and so I watched these two movies that I really wanted to watch. They were these both of them were post-apocalyptic movies. So one was called The Book of Eli with Denzel Washington, and the other is called The Road with Viggo Mortensen in it. And even though they're post-apocalyptic, they were very, very different. I'm going to spoil both of the movies. But they're old, and if you haven't seen them yet, it's your fault, not mine. Book of Eli, it's again about this man on a journey. And at the end of the whole journey, it becomes very, very clear that he was miraculously guided by God the entire time. It just like it's all just revealed, like, oh my gosh, all of this meant something. And so this man on a journey, on the road, gets to the end of the journey. God was guiding him the whole time. And he knew it the whole time, too. On the road, it's the story of this man, father and his son, and they're living in this place. It's just all dreary. Whereas in the Book of Eli, it says everything's overexposed and it's super hot. In the road, everything's just ash and everything's gray and it's constantly cold. And at one point, the father decides, okay, he and his son are going to get on the road. And they're going to go to the coast because it seems like things will be better there. It seems like things will be safer there. And so the whole story is based off a book by Cormac McCarthy, and they just start walking, and it is a violent and brutal and dark, dark world. And they have to avoid marauders, they have to avoid slavers, they have to avoid cannibals because people have been reduced to that. And his father keeps having this line. He says, okay, son, what you and I have to do, we have to carry the fire. And that was this image, right? You have to carry the fire because this world is dark. And we have to be good people. And we're good people because we don't kill people and we don't eat people. That's kind of really low bar, post-apocalyptic. And it's this powerful story of this father just trying to protect his son, trying to find a better place. And here's the spoiler. They get to the coast and there is no better. They get to the coast and there is no safe. They get to the coast, there is no home. They get to the coast and there's no done. There's just more road. And then the father dies. And the kid gets picked up by this family. And that's the end of the story. That's the end of the movie. And just like the Book of Eli was kind of all this promise, this hope, like, yeah, God was present, guiding him the whole way. The end of the movie, The Road, is just like, so what does it even mean? It seems all completely futile. It seems like an exercise in futility. It seems like one of those things like, oh, so the point is you just keep walking. The whole point is that all of life is just, you just fight and fight and fight and it's just meaningless, that nothing matters. And in fact, it's really interesting because I've known people who that is their worldview. Their worldview is, they look at, I mean, even young people look at all of this and say, well, so I'll go to school, I'll try to get a job, I'll maybe have a family, but what's the point? Because in the end, we end up dying. In fact, not just young people, and one of my dad's good friends, he had shared with me, my dad had shared with me, that his friend told him, yeah, if I get to a certain age and I can't do things, I'm just gonna end it. And you just, matter of fact, like that, just, yeah, if I get to a certain age and I just realize that there's more sickness than there is health, there's more inability than there is ability, then I'll just end my life. In fact, in the movie and the book, The Road, there is the man and the son, the child, the boy, and the woman, and that was his man's wife. And at one point, she just gives up, and she asks the question as she goes out into the wilderness, essentially, to commit suicide. She says, so what's the point of all this? Just to stay alive? For what? Why? Because the world is so dark that it can simply seem like an exercise in futility. And that, again, when it comes to an atheistic worldview, that makes sense. Like, my dad's friend is an atheist. And for him to say that, yeah, if I have more inability than I have ability, if I have more sickness than I have health, then yes, why keep on living? Because this whole life is without any inherent value. Without God, all of life has no inherent value. There's no purpose, there's no reason, not for anything, which is one of the reasons why there was an atheistic philosopher who once said, in a world without God, the first real philosophical question is, why not suicide? Because why go on living? If all life is going to be is just this walking in darkness, all life is going to be is just keep staying on the road with no point, exercise in futility, just walking into darkness, then why? You know, the interesting thing is for those of us who know that God exists, we still experience the darkness. We still experience the brokenness. We still experience the pain and the trials. Like, that's the interesting thing is here for those who don't believe God exists, they experience the trials and the darkness and the pain. And for those who know God exists, we still experience the darkness and the trials and the pain. But we also know something important. We also know some important truths, like what Jesus talks about today. There is such a thing as the resurrection of the dead. And Jesus even proves this to us in his own resurrection. If the resurrection is true, then this life is not all there is. And if this life is not all there is, then there might be some things that are worth dying for. If the resurrection is true, then this life is not all there is. And if this life is not all there is, there may be some things that are worth living for. And not just for Christians, but even in Judaism, we have the first reading today from 2 Maccabees. It's just awesome. It's such a great story. We only got a couple snippets from the whole story of all seven brothers and their mom, who are just incredibly courageous, incredibly hopeful. They have this remarkable, heroic endurance. What we heard today, of course, is the story. So background behind this is man named Alexander the Great. He was a Greek who came in and he occupied the known world, right? And after him became this man named Antiochus Epiphanes. And Antiochus Epiphanes was hostile to basically anyone who wasn't Greek, and he wanted to Greekify or Hellenize the entire known world. And that meant that the Greek form of thought, Greek system of religion, Greek system of worship, all these kind of things to dominate, and wanted to suppress all other forms of worship, including Judaism. And so we come upon the scene. Here are the Greeks who are trying to suppress this Judaism. And now it's remarkable because there were a lot of Jews who just let themselves be Hellenized, right? They let themselves be Greekified. They let themselves give away their faith. But we have some examples, like the example here in 2 Maccabees chapter 7, of these seven brothers and their mom. Which is almost a kind of a senseless story. Again, if you don't have faith, the story is futile. It's an exercise in futility. Because all they have to do, if you know the whole story, they just have to walk forward, eat some pork, and then get to go home. That's it. That's all they had to do. They didn't have to bow down and worship any other statue. They didn't have to go and do something crazy. They just had to come forward, eat a piece of pork in public in violation of the law of Moses, and then they could go home. And then they could be a family. And then they could go to the synagogue and worship. then they could just keep on living. And this might sound backwards after affirming the value of life and it's worth living. But one of the things that they testify to in this first reading, one of the things that they give witness to is that there are some things that are worse than death, and there are some things that are better than life. And that first brother we heard from, he knows this. What does he say? He says to the questioner, he says, "What do you expect to achieve in questioning us?" Then he says this line, he says, "We are ready to die rather than transgress the laws of our ancestors." We're ready to die. Why? Because there are some things that are worse than death and some things that are better than life. But what is it? I want to ask the question, what is it to be ready to die? I think it's at least three things. It means you're willing, it means that you are prepared, and it means that you're able to be actually ready to die. Here are these seven brothers and their mom saying they're ready to die. It means they're willing, that they are prepared, and that they're able. It means they're willing in the sense that they know the truth. Their worldview is, I know that there is more to this life than just this life. That life is good, but it's not an absolute good. So willing means they have hope. They have this virtue of hope. To be prepared means that I've done what I needed to do. If you want to get, you and I want to be prepared for anything, that means we've done what we needed to do to be ready for this. We know we've done what we needed to do to prepare for this. Meaning, I'm not just willing to do this hard thing. It means I'm able to do this hard thing. So I don't just need hope, I also need courage. Hope is what makes us willing to do the hard thing, but courage gives us the power to do that hard thing. So they're willing, they're prepared, and they're able. Because not only do I know, I have hope. Not only I can act, I have courage, but also I can endure. Also, they could endure, they could persevere. And so those three things, right? In order to be willing, prepared, and able, they need these three virtues. They need hope, they need courage, and they need endurance, they need perseverance. And it's so interesting, it just strikes me that the three things that are required to be able to die well are also the three things that are required in order to be able to live well. Because think about this, without hope, we wouldn't act at all. Like without hope, we wouldn't even move. Hope is an incredibly practical virtue. I would almost even say that hope is the most practical virtue because hope is not a wish. Hope is not a dream. It's like, I hope things will get better and just sit back. Hope acts. We know that hope moves. Hope is a declaration in the face of the temptation to futility that says this matters. That this life matters, that your choices matter, that what you do actually makes a difference. Hope is the willingness to act in the face of difficulty. Why? Because you know that it matters. You know that the choice matters. And that's why, in Maccabees, he says, these hands, he says, from heaven I received them, from him I hope to receive them again. He says, it is my choice to lay down my life with the hope that God gives. So hope is the willingness to act in the face of difficulties because hope is relational. Let's go back to this. Look back to those brothers. Hope is relational. He said, it's from heaven, from God that I've received these hands. My hope is I'll receive them back again from God. Hope is relational, meaning that hope is trust in another extended into the future. Hope is when I trust in the Lord Not only that he's here right now, but that he will be there in the future, no matter what. You know, it's so remarkable for us because every one of us, everyone who sins wrestles with discouragement. Every one of us. I mean, how many times we've like, I fall back into this sin. I'm just so discouraged. I feel broken. Everyone who sins wrestles with discouragement. And everyone who goes to confession is choosing hope. So hope is that willingness to act in the midst of difficulty. It's that trust in another that's extended into the future. And that's one thing we need in order to actually live well. But the second thing we need in order to be ready to die and to be ready to live is courage. Again, I said courage is mean being prepared, right? It's I've done what I'm prepared because I've done what I needed to do. And I'm thinking especially about St. Paul in the second reading, his letter to the Thessalonians. They're also people who are persecuted. So here's the Jewish people in the first reading, the Maccabees, who are being persecuted. Here are Christians in Thessalonica who are being persecuted. And what does St. Paul write to them? He says this. He says, "May God encourage your hearts and strengthen them in every good deed and word." Because remember, hope is the willingness to act. But courage is something else. Courage is the ability, the power to act in the face of difficulty. It's that power to act when I need to act. And we know this. We know we need courage in order to die well. We need courage in order to live well. So William Shakespeare, back in the play Julius Caesar, there's this moment where Julius Caesar, you know, he's going to get assassinated. And some of his advisors come to him and they say, you know, the portents are poor for you, that you shouldn't leave the house today. And Julius Caesar, who is relatively noble man in the play, he responds and he says, "A coward dies 1,000 times before his death, but the valiant taste of death but once." Think about that in your life and in my life. The coward dies 1,000 times before his death, but the valiant only dies once. You ever have those situations where, you know, you just keep putting things off because it's going to be hard, or you keep not acting because you know it's going to be tough. Keep not doing what you know you need to do because it's intimidating. Because it is, even the small things, like, so we end up like, you know, we don't make the phone call. Because I have to do that, I know I have to put it, I put it off. How many times? 1,000 times. The coward dies 1,000 times before his death, but the valiant only has to die once. Or you know, just get out the door. How many times are we held back from just, again, this is real life. This is where courage really is needed, not just in those great moments of martyrdom, but even these small moments of just, okay, I step foot out the door. Sometimes for someone to get out of bed is an act of courage. I know this is what I need to do. It's the only way I can be prepared to live. It's actually the only way that I can live. Just write the paper. Rather than realizing, I have to do this. We die 1,000 deaths. The coward will die 1,000 deaths before his actual death, but the valiant only has to die once. See, I can't be ready. I can't be prepared unless I have the courage to act. And none of us will be prepared. None of us will be ready unless we actually do what we know to do. And again, this encouragement, this courage we need to have It's from God. Like all of this, hope comes from God. All of this, courage, it comes from God. And all of it is for God. Because we have to realize that no matter how dark, no matter how difficult, it's not the end. Again, I'm going to say that again. No matter how dark, no matter how difficult life is, we know that it's not futile. It's not the end. How we face this moment matters. And here's one of the things we need to understand. When it comes to the darkness in all of our lives, how we face that moment actually makes a difference. Again, St. Paul says today in the reading, he says, we are confident that what we instructed you, you are doing and you will continue to do. And he says, I'm confident that you will have endurance in Christ. You love perseverance. That's the third thing, right? Hope and courage and perseverance. Hope and courage and endurance. We're confident that what you have done, you will continue to do, because that's what perseverance is. To continue to strive for the good, no matter how much it costs, that's endurance. To continue to strive for the good, no matter how difficult it might be to attain it, that's perseverance. To continue. To keep on going. That's endurance. So what we need to be ready, we not only to die, but to be ready to live, we need all three. I need hope, knowing that, okay, this matters. I need courage, knowing that I can do what matters. And I need endurance, because I know that I'm going to need to keep walking. That I'm going to need to keep carrying the fire. That I'm going to need to keep carrying the fire into a dark world. You know, the author of the book Invisible Man, Ralph Ellison, the black man in the 1930s and 1940s when he wrote this book, just talking about just the incredible racism that he and many men and women just like him faced in this country, in our culture. Ralph Ellison once wrote this. He wrote about endurance, right? He wrote about carrying that light into the darkness. He said this, he said, life is to be lived, not controlled. And humanity is won by continuing to play in the face of certain defeat. Continuing to play in the face of certain defeat. To choose to be the kind of person who refuses to stop. Again, this is one of the Maccabees, we're ready to die. We're also ready to live. Why? Because I can choose to be the kind of person who refuses to quit. Refuses to allow the darkness to overcome the light. Refuses to not be the kind of person who can't carry the light. And this is the last thing. As I mentioned, the movie The Road also is based off of a book by Cormac McCarthy. I saw that movie that one day and thought, this is super depressing. And then I thought, for whatever reason, I should read the book. So then I read the book and I realized that, yes, it's true. It's almost shot for shot, scene for scene, very dark. And in the book, they don't reach safety. In the book, they don't get better. And in the book, there's never a done. But the book highlights something that I just missed in the movie, maybe if it was even there. The road, even though it didn't end, the road did something. Even though the father died, that journey of that father and that son on the road taught the boy how to live in a dark world. The road and the journey with his father taught the boy how to hope. that rode with the journey with his father taught the boy how to have courage and how to persevere, how to endure. It taught him how to carry the fire in a dark world. Because we know this, there is more to this life than just this life. And Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, proved this. Therefore, there are some things that are worth dying for. And there are some things that are worth living for. In a world that often seems futile, and in a world that often seems dark, to be the kind of people who can walk in hope, and to walk in courage, and walk in endurance, that's everything. In a world that seems so dark, to be the kind of person who can walk and carry the fire is everything.